Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us, please check out our website at www.hisloveministries.net. Thank you.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
This is my story. This is my song. That should be all of our stories and all of our songs, shouldn't it? Yes. Praising our Savior all the day long. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles today, we're going to be back in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to finish up, I think, chapter 6 today. Next week, we'll kind of go back through the whole book. Just kind of do a real quick remind everybody what we've been through in the book of Ephesians. All right, in Ephesians chapter 6, remember we've been talking about the whole armor of God. And he talked about to stand strong in the power of the Lord's might. That you can't stand strong on your own, but you need His might, right? You need His might so that you can stand strong. He says to stand, that Jesus has already won the victory. And so what we need to do is stand strong, right? And then he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. You don't go into battle with part of the armor. And what these things are, he first of all talks about the belt of truth. That's talking about being ready for battle. You know your word of God, you're ready, you're committed. And then he talks about the breastplate of righteousness. We have Christ's righteousness, but then we are to put on His righteousness and become holy. And then he talks about our feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means to stand in His power and His presence. That we know that we can't be knocked back. And then we got the shield of faith. That means we trust God no matter what, right? When the devil shoots those fiery darts at us. And the helmet of salvation, we know that one day the battle's going to be over. We know one day, for those that know Christ, that one day we'll go to heaven. The battle will be over. Isn't that what gives us hope sometimes if we're sick or something's going on? We know that one day that that's going to be over, right? And that's what this is. And so today, and then we talked about the last thing we talked about, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it divides the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And all things are laid open and naked before His sight, that He can show us all things through that. The Word of God is powerful. And then today we're going to talk about, in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's stop right there and then we'll come back and finish the rest of it. But what does he say first here? He wants to talk about prayer. That means we're to be watchful, right? And without prayer, nothing happens, right? I mean, at the end of the battle, what do we need to do to prepare for battle? We need to pray, right? We need to get prepared. We need to pray. And so I want you to notice today that there's four alls right here. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So there's four alls. So what does he say first of all? He says, praying always, right? So that's what we're supposed to be doing, is we're praying always. I don't know how y'all are raised. Some people are raised where you pray at certain times of the day or whatever, or books of prayers, these kind of things. But the Bible tells us that praying is more of it's a mindset. It's not necessarily you're praying always 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but it's a mindset of prayer. And so what does that mean? It means in every situation, as things come up, as life deals you problems, as things happen, what do? We pray, right? I mean, we pray for all things. He says, pray for all things. What's the song we sing that he says that, you know, oh, what needless sorrow, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we don't do what? Take everything to God in prayer, right? And we talk about that praying always in Philippians 4:6. It gives us that peace that passes all understanding because we give everything to God in prayer, right? Talked about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, that he was a devout man and he prayed to God always. In Romans 12:12, it says, continue diligent in prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And then in 2 Timothy 1:3, the Apostle Paul said that he did that, and he wrote to Timothy, without ceasing, I have remembrance of you in my prayers day and night. And so we pray all the time. In other words, something comes to your mind, what do? You pray for it. There's a frustration, a difficulty, these things come up and you pray all the time. It's just an attitude of prayer, right? Yes, there's times where you stop and pray and dedicate time to prayer. We'll finish up with that song today, Sweet Hour of Prayer. What do? We pray with an attitude of prayer. And when things come up, we lay it before the Lord. And so we don't have to pray at certain times, but we pray all the time. We have that attitude of prayer. So let's see, second of all, we see not only the frequency of prayer, but the second all shows us the variety of prayer. What does he say here? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So what does all prayer mean there? He says with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What does that mean? He says that's the variety of prayer, right? Prayer just means general request, general conversation to God. And then there's also the second thing is supplication. And what is supplication? It's basically specific requests, right? For specific things. So what does he mean by all prayer and all supplication? He means simply all kinds. There's different ways to pray. Some people pray on their knees. Some people pray while they're laying in the bed. Some pray while they're walking or driving or whatever you're doing, but he means all kinds of prayer, and you can pray at all times and all kinds of circumstances. Whatever situation you're in, you pray, right? I mean, that's what he's saying there. You give general request, and sometimes you say, oh Lord, you know, I need help right this minute. And sometimes you pray specifically for somebody to be saved or to work in God's life for a specific situation. But we can just talk to God. What is prayer? It's just talking to God, right? I mean, I remember hearing about, you know, a guy one time that he was a new Christian and he didn't really know how to pray. And, you know, a lot of these guys, they, after you pray a while, they're like, oh, God of Jacob and Abraham and Isaac, and, you know, lay all these great things. And he says, God, this is John. I just want to talk to you today. I need some help today in this area. Would you help me, Lord? And he says, thank you, Lord. And you know, he says, this is John, and I just want to ask you to help me today. We don't have to throw out all these fancy things, but we just come to God and talk to God and request things from God. Thirdly, we not only see the frequency of prayer and the variety of prayer, but the manner of prayer. So what does he say thirdly right here? He says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So the third thing is, He says to watch with all perseverance. And so what is the idea of perseverance? It means to stick with it, right? To hang in there, to continue, to stick with it. Be alert to the issues, to watch and pray, Jesus said. 1 Peter 4:7 says, watch unto prayer. And you know, you can't really pray properly unless you know what's going on. But we have to pray and be alert. I think about Peter. Remember Peter and I think it was Matthew 26. And what did Jesus say to him? He told him he was going to fail, right? He says, before the cock crows three times, the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times, right? And then he says, watch and pray, Peter. And then he went and prayed in the garden. Three times he came back, and three times they were sleeping, right? And he spoke specifically to Peter. He says, Peter, could you not watch and pray with me for 1 hour? And so what happened when the time of temptation came? Peter failed, didn't he? Because he didn't watch and he didn't pray. And so we need to watch and we need to pray. We need to be ready, because God wants to answer prayer. He says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. So God wants to display his power. You know, if we don't pray specifically, God can't answer specifically, can he? You know, sometimes we pray, oh God, help the world, or help me, or do this or do that. But what if we were to pray something specifically and write down when we prayed for it and then see how God answered it? That's what we could do. You know, God is saying through Paul here that there's a war going on and we've got to pray. I don't know how prayer works, but I remember we talked about this in Daniel, that Daniel chapter 10, what happens over there. Daniel's praying for 21 days. Gabriel, the messenger of God, the angel of God, comes and says, Daniel, from the time you began to pray, your prayer was answered. But the prince of Persia withstood me for 21 days until Michael, the chief archangel, came. So somehow or another, there was a spiritual battle going on. And the prince of Persia, which, you know, we've been talking about that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and powers and spiritual wickedness, principalities and powers. And apparently there's levels of authority in the demonic realm. And so this demon was stopping the prayer from getting to Daniel, the answer getting to Daniel. And then the chief archangel, Michael, came. And as Daniel persevered in prayer, he won the battle and the answer got to him. What would have happened if he would have quit after praying 20 days? He wouldn't have got the answer, right? Because there was a battle going on. If he'd have quit after the first day, he wouldn't have got the answer. Because there was a spiritual battle, and I don't know how that works, but somehow or another our prayers empower the spiritual realm so that God's prayer is answered. I heard about a man that was in the jungle, and these natives were cannibals, and they were coming to kill him, and they surrounded him. And it was just him and his wife. And later on, as the natives begin to trust the Lord and get saved, he says, well, why didn't you kill us that first night when you surrounded us? And he said there were 7 humongous white-clothed warriors with swords, and we were scared to death of them, you know. And then the guy says, well, when did this happen? And he told him, and he says, you know, that was the night I remember had a burden to pray for y'all. And he says, I called some people. How many people prayed with me that night? And the same amount of people stood up as there was angels that were there that night protecting those people. So somehow or another, I don't know how that works, but I've heard stories like that, you know. And so somehow or another, our prayers, you know, that's why Jesus says to keep on praying, to keep on seeking, keep on knocking and keep on asking, right? Because that's the kind of prayer that gets answered. There's the frequency of prayer, the variety of prayer, the manner of prayer, watching with all perseverance. And then finally, there's the objects of prayer. He says, praying always for what? All the saints. We're to pray for other people. You know, so many times, and there's nothing wrong with praying for people's health. But what if we were really begin to pray for people to be saved and lives to be changed and this city to be changed and all the things that go on in this city, that, you know, this is a poor city and Savannah's a, people love Savannah, but it's a wicked city because it's a poor city. Has a lot of evil, you know. And what if we were beginning to pray for Savannah and pray for the United States and pray for our president and pray for our senators and pray for people to be saved and people to be changed? You know, what if we began to pray for all the saints to be what they're supposed to be? You know, what if we were praying for other people? I mean, you know, some of the prayers that we can really pray is Jesus prayed in John 17 that we would be one, that we wouldn't be fighting amongst ourselves because of different denominations, that we would be, the world would know us by our love, and that we would be holy, right? What if we began just to pray that? That would be a great prayer, wouldn't it? So we pray for all the saints. You know, we do pray for ourselves sometimes, but if we lift up everybody else, hopefully they're lifting us up too, right? So we need to lose ourselves in the things that really matter, the spiritual battles of other people. Lose yourselves in the consuming prayer for the kingdom of God, and you won't have trouble with your little petty anxieties, and I won't have trouble with my little petty anxieties. They said that when, I think it was World War II, I think it was, that the psychiatric hospitals, I think it was in here in America and in Great Britain, they were filled up with people. And they said as soon as the war started, the hospitals, the psychiatric facilities emptied out because people forgot about their little petty problems. And then they began to worry about something bigger, their families and loved ones, where they were coming back and all these other things. And so the facilities emptied out, right? Let's look at one more thing in verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What do? You pray in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? It means to line up your will with the will of God, right? I mean, what is to pray in the Spirit? To be filled with the Spirit is to be, best as I know, I'm prayed up, confessed up, and as best as I know how, I'm doing the will of God. That's what it means to be in the Spirit. That you know that you're doing God's will. How can you pray in the Spirit? You can pray by praying the Word of God, right? There's so many of these prayers that you could pray, and Paul says, well, here, I'll give you an example. And so he says, verse 19, pray for me that the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So what does he pray for? He prays for boldness. He says, pray for me that I might be bold. Remember where Paul's at when he writes this book? He's locked up into prison, right? He's locked up into prison, and that word boldness means to just be able to speak freely, to not be afraid to open up and just speak what's on your mind and to say the truth and speak the truth. And so he says, pray that for me that utterance, that the right words, that I may be able to get the word out, that I may open my mouth boldly. I mean, he's locked up into prison for his faith. He's not locked up for doing something wrong. He's locked up for preaching the gospel, for the mystery of the gospel, for preaching the mystery that everybody's one in the body of Christ, the Jews and Greeks, that there is no male, there is no female, there is no white, no black, no rich, no poor, but we're all one in Christ, right? He says, pray for me, for which I'm ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly. He says it again. He says it again. Says that I may speak boldly, that I may speak boldly, and that I ought to know how I ought to speak. Give me the right words, God. Pray for the right words when you speak to people. That's a good prayer, isn't it? I mean, sometimes when you need to speak to a family member, you want to talk to somebody about the Lord, He wants to do a couple of things here in this last section of the scripture. He wants to give them some information. He wants to encourage them. And then he wants to give them a blessing at the end. He says here, look in verse 21. But that you may also know my affairs and how I'm doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So, what does he say? Well, if you want to know what to pray, pray that I'd be able to speak the gospel boldly. And then he says, second of all, I'm going to send you some, he wants them to know some information, right? That you may know how I am doing. I mean, they're concerned about Paul. He's locked up in the prison for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's going to send Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister, right? He's a beloved brother and a faithful minister. And what's he going to do? That he will make all things known to you. Who is Tychicus? He's a good friend, but he's one of these guys that took several books of the Bible to different people. He's mentioned five times in the New Testament. And he's the one who delivers the letter of Ephesians. I think he's possibly the one that delivers a couple other letters. But what does he do? He brings these letters from Paul. That's why we have these books, right? That Paul writes. So he says, I want to let Tychicus come to you that you may know how I'm doing. So he's going to give them, first of all, information. If you don't have information, you don't know how to pray, right? And so you got to have information. And then second of all, he says in verse 22, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your heart. So second thing he wants to do is have Tychicus come and do what? Comfort their hearts, right? And encourage them. Because Paul wants to let them know that everything's going okay for him. Yeah, he's in the prison. Yeah, he's locked up. But you know what? God's work is being done. You remember in the book, end of the book of Philippians, which he writes at the same times. He writes Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians while he's locked up. And also Philemon while he's locked up at this time. And he writes in the end of the book of Philippians, what does he say? All the saints of Caesar's household greet you. What happens? While he's chained up to these Roman soldiers, one on each side, you know what happens? These guys get saved. He's got a captive audience. He's a captive, and he's chained to a guy probably on each side, and he's telling them the gospel, and these people in Caesar's household are getting saved. And he says, all the saints in Caesar's household greet you. See, Paul would have never been able to see those people saved. He would have never been able to get into Caesar's household to preach the gospel had he not been locked up and been a prisoner. But see, even God used that to share the gospel, to get to the people who were within the household of Caesar. So sometimes we think, you know, these are bad things that are happening. But remember, God uses his, works all things together for good, right? The third thing he wants to do is he wants to bless them through this thing here. He says, peace to the brethren, in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, peace to the brethren. What does he first what wants us to do? Peace, love, and faith. He talks about that. So peace is necessary because what? What happened in chapter 3? He's putting the Jews and the Gentiles together, right? And even today, we've got different races and different people in the church and different socioeconomic backgrounds and different kinds of people. And sometimes it gets difficult because we're a little bit different and people have different opinions and different ways of doing things. But we need the peace from God to help us live and get along together, right? We've got peace from God and we got peace with God, and that enables us to have peace with other people. And then he says, peace to the brethren and love with faith. So how do you love people? You love them with mutual love. And then also that mutual love rests on a mutual faith, right? A common faith. Because, you know, why do we love other people? We're to love the saints because God loves us, right? And if he saved us, he says to do good unto others, especially of the household of the saints, right? Especially the household of God. And then lastly, he says there, grace. This is from the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me not skip that. This is peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you get peace and where do you get love and faith from? From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he finishes with his benediction. He says, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So what is grace? Grace is the key to the calling of the Christian and the creation of the church. Grace is that unmerited favor of God, right? What do we call grace? You use that little acronym. What is it? G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is not getting is getting what you don't deserve, right? I mean, grace is somebody pops you upside the head, you reach in their wallet and give them a $50 bill. That's grace. Grace is we put Jesus Christ on the cross, and what does he do? He dies for our sins so that we might have eternal life. That is the real grace, that God loves us so much that he died for us. We have to arm ourselves with truth and righteousness and holiness and faith and that hope that one day we're going to heaven and we have the Word of God and prayer. Remember, our defensive and offensive weapons, we've got the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God. Those are the things we use to fight back. When the devil's attacking us, we use the Word of God and we use prayer. Those are our weapons that we fight. You know, notice everything else is there. But he tells us that these certain things we take up, the whole armor of God. Some of the things we have on and some of the things we take up as we need them. But the weapons are all there. We have everything that we need to live the Christian life. Remember, when Jesus comes, when the devil comes against us, that we don't have to lose, do we? Because guess what? We have everything that we need to win the battle. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll sing one more song. We'll finish up today. Father, thank you that we can come to you and pray and lay our burdens down at your feet. And we can use that weapon that it's a weapon that protects us. Watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. We pray at all times and always for all the saints and all manners of praying. And we do that because, Lord, somehow, some way, you've told us that we have not because we ask not. And then you also tell us that we have not because we ask for it wrongly. So, Lord, as we pray during this time, that old prayer that we talked about, Lord, what we have not, please give us. What we are not, please make us. What we know not, please teach us. And what I've added is, Lord, help us not to miss anything that you want us to have. And so, Lord, we want you to pray for us and the Holy Spirit to pray for us as you live to make intercession. And you said the Holy Spirit prays in groanings and utterings, that he knows the right thing to pray for us. Lord, we don't want to miss out on the best for our life. So, Lord, help us to know what to pray for, that we might pray and we might not miss out because we don't ask, and then because we ask for the wrong things to consume it upon our lust. Lord, help us to honor you and to glorify you through our prayer and everything we say and do and pray, Lord, would honor you and that your work and your word would go forth mightily today wherever it's preached, and that you would be glorified and many would be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 13, Sweet Hour Prayer.
I'm the child without a home. I'm the widow left alone. So be love, be love.
Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries.
Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out and go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And He is the only way to get to heaven. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by Me." Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services, and so we go out to them, and it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto Me. And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.